I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. It is said of the Ummah, the classical community of Islam, that all the rest are tribes. There is only one nation, Egypt. Egypt troubled since the Arab Spring, but not now. And I follow very closely in The Diplomatist, Dr. Raymond Stock, a Shulman Ginsberg writing fellow at the Middle East Forum, who for many years has watched Egypt. He is an Arabic translator. And a year ago was as concerned with everyone else in the United States for the fate of this very populous Arab nation. But now, one man, one election, one transformation, and now after the Hamas failure, the Hamas tragedy, the Hamas gangsters, it looks like a bulwark of the Middle East. General now, President Sisi. Raymond, a very good evening to you. I don't want to get ahead of you. I've summarized my reading of your piece. Is that your sense, that President Sisi has become a major force in the Middle East? Good evening to you.
Yes, thanks very much for having me back, John. It's great to talk to you. Well, yes, he's a major, major force in the Middle East. Of course, any president of Egypt is going to be a major force. Even Morsi was a major force, but in another way, in a much more negative way, I think. And many would agree. But then again, unfortunately, Sisi, though he is a great and positive change, in my view, and I'm sure in the Israelis' view, because he's enemies now with the same people that they are enemies with. they're actually on the same page in this regard, in many ways, which was not really the case under Mubarak, even, and certainly not under Morsi. Sisi is not really out of the woods yet, and Egypt's not really out of the woods yet entirely, because Sisi is generating so much opposition internationally because he's not fulfilling the traditional role of Egypt as a sort of automatic backer of anything Palestinian, and because he's not taking a really hostile view or position about Israel. It's a mixed picture, but on the whole, Sisi is doing very well, and he's succeeding at this time.
I want to start with the domestic scene for Sisi, and then we'll move to the foreign policy in all directions. Domestically, he still faces an underground Muslim Brothers. The Ikhwan is very good at that, have been since their birth. They go underground. They have secret ways of communicating. There are Ikhwan overseas who communicate, send money, all of that. And at the same time, Sisi, as you'd have to say, his crackdown is heavily moralistic and accusatory and not what we would celebrate as Jeffersonian. Is that a success for him, or is it too early?
It's too early to say it's a complete success. It is certainly successful so far, in the sense that it got him into power, it got him elected by a good margin. It was a very legitimate election, I think, even though it was flawed in some ways. And he does have a mandate. It's not as big as the one he asked for, but it's big enough. And there's nobody else who could compete with him for leadership in Egypt for the foreseeable future. And he has put the Muslim Brotherhood not only back on its heels, but basically back underground, where it had been back in the days of Abdel Nasser, the 60s.
What about the cultural crackdown, Raymond? Let's get to it. You mentioned it in your article. Egypt's John Stewart, Bassem Youssef, was canceled. That looks very much like a fragile and prickly governance that cannot suffer what you'd have to say is just satire on television, perhaps persuasive satire, but nonetheless, yes. It's a guy on TV.
I agree. I'm not entirely sure that was really Sisi's doing, but it was certainly something he didn't try to arrest or change. In terms of arresting, it was all being done for him, perhaps, or perhaps not really with his consent, but on his behalf, or on behalf of the system he was trying to create, this mass crackdown on the opposition. And it has been very controversial. There have been excesses in it. It is not pretty. It is not necessarily, however, the way it's been portrayed by much of the media, or even by human rights groups, who I think have a distinct bias against him.
I want to go overseas now, Raymond, because we've got so much to propose about Sisi. Let's focus just on his relationship with Washington. Is there one?
Not much. He's, in fact, moving very close with Russia. He is just now possibly wrapping up what has originally been a $2 billion, now could be $5 billion arms deal with Moscow. His first foreign trip was to Moscow as president. So he is very much moving away from the United States, and that's because of our treatment of him. It's not because he wants to go to the Russians, although the Russians are much less critical in general of their clients. But they're not. He doesn't want to have to go through that transition. He would rather stay with the United States, but the United States is driving him away. And in fact, Putin was the first person to congratulate him on his election. So there is a burgeoning relationship there, which is really quite alarming from a traditional United States national security point of view. And for the Egyptians, I think in the long term, it's also not good, because they will find Russia to be disappointing as a patron in the future.
Tahrir Square. Originally, Tahrir Square was a middle-class outburst. There was much attention to social media, well-educated people who had no future or saw their future dim in Mubarak's regime. The middle class also has been the fertile ground for the Ikhwan or the more extreme elements. Zawahiri, for example, is a middle class doctor, physician. How is Sisi with the middle class, especially with regard to the now apparent break with Washington? Are they okay with that?
I think that most Egyptians are okay with it, regardless of their class. I think that they see that the relationship is too much of a really too one-sided, particularly after the fall of Mubarak, which was hastened by Washington, even though he had been their client. They saw Washington as actually becoming much more intrusive than they had been under Mubarak, And I think and they actually foisted upon them the worst regime in their history, that is the Muslim Brotherhood. So they're quite outraged at the United States on the whole, except those who supported the Muslim Brotherhood, which is not a terribly small portion of the population, but certainly not the majority by any means. They're very much a minority.
The Hamas is an outcrop of the Muslim Brothers, and they've just rained thousands of rockets down on the state of Israel and refused all negotiations except what was happening in Cairo. I'm told that Sisi wanted them gone, dead. He didn't want a day after. He wanted them finished, that the Gaza was to be flooded with the PA, with Fatah. Hamas, go away. I don't care your future. Is that a strength for Sisi, or will he pay for that?
I think it gained him popularity for the time being in Egypt, actually. I think it added to his popularity. He managed to keep a rhetorical distance between himself and the Israelis, who are still viewed as the evil Zionists, even now, even though he is much closer to the Israelis in his security and other dealings than Mubarak even was. But he also, at the same time, very much wants to eliminate Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamists that oppose his regime. And he views Gaza as a legitimate Egyptian security concern. And he views them, you know, Hamas and its allies in Gaza, as contributing, in fact, being responsible for the chaos inside Egypt today via the Sinai, as well as its hooking up with terrorists now coming in from Libya, which is a problem that we also created. Another reason they're angry at us is because we destabilized Libya. And now they have an incredible, potentially ISIS-like condition developing in eastern Libya on their border, as well as in Sinai. So they're being squeezed on both sides by these Islamists. And taking out the Hamas would have been very important for them. The fact that the Israelis politically could not do that, really, frustrated them, I'm sure, frustrated the Sisi. But they did, in fact, crush Hamas to a great degree militarily and have very much limited their ability to wage war for the time being and put them on the back foot considerably.
Raymond Stott.
But they also wanted the PA to come in and take over, as you suggested. They wanted the PA to run the Gaza Strip.
Detail then, just a summary. Yeah. General Sisi, now President Sisi right now, the questions are many in all directions, but you measure him strong enough to withstand the unknowns and to hold Cairo together, correct?
I do, for the foreseeable future. But nothing is in the Middle East, nothing is worth predicting. Right. You simply can't predict the Middle East.
Right. The wind
blows. It is a projection.
The wind blows, the sand moves. Dr. Raymond Stock, yes. Shulman Ginsberg, writing fellow at the Middle East Forum, publishing most recently about General now President al-Sisi and the diplomatist. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.